Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, I heard live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. And also, don't forget to leave me a voicemail on the feedback. You may even be on my show. I need to hear from you guys to let you know what you think. I also want to take the opportunity to let my listeners know I really do appreciate you listening to my show each and every week. We're dropping these nuggets to help you live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad, Reliable Cards. He's too blessed to be stressed. I have an awesome guest this afternoon for you. Her name is Terry Coleman. She's from Grifton, Georgia, which is a small town just outside of the robust metropolitan city of hot Atlanta. Terry is the oldest sister of two. However, due to such a close-knit upbringing with her family, she has three other cousins that she refers to as sister cousins. Girl, I know the feeling. We had the same thing going on with us, too. Now, right out of high school, Terry joined the U.S. Army in pursuit of a career to lead her out of the small town, living to bigger things, and her journey would be nothing short of seeing how beating the odds is possible. Growing up in the projects of Heritage Heights to now living in a well-affluent neighborhood in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex came with overcoming the struggles of poor credit, repos, bankruptcy, foreclosures, job losses, and too many collection bill accounts to name. Terry knew that the way to advance in life was through understanding real estate. It was in this field that she began to reign in her talents and live in the dreams of the Jeffersons. Girl, moving on up. That's what I'm talking about. Now, the day she foreclosed on her sprawling 4,000-square-foot home in Douglasville, Georgia, made her realize that never again she would be put out of a home that she owned. It was in that moment that she started learning about alternate financing options that have been known to many outside of her community, and the expression, the secrets of wealth and finance, started to make sense to her. Now that she has lived the lessons of loss, devastation, and sacrifice, she is now coaching and speaking to women and men all on how the secrets to regaining your life and not falling victim to a life of poverty, and lack, but seeing that there is so much abundance out there that is unimaginable to those who do not know of this alternative financing world. The reality is that more and more mainstream financial institutions will turn to this method of financing. Meanwhile, this has hundreds of individuals just reaching out to her for coaching and financial assistance. Daily, her mission is to teach, educate through her platform, Mindset to Millions. Girl, I love that. Accomplished with Global Key Capital LLC is a winning strategy for a path to success and freedom. Most recently, Terry has established herself as an executive producer and creator of two reality TV shows. Her career is ever expanding. Terry Coleman is not only a business coach, producer, author, and mentor, she is the catalyst for success. Good afternoon, Terry. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I am well.
I am great. I am great. Now, like I said, I'm only going to ask you this one question, and you basically did it in your bio, so I just want you to expand on that. What has been the lowest point in your life, and how has it propelled you to where you are today?
Oh, my gosh. The lowest point in my life, and I touched on it, you're right, in my bio, is facing foreclosure. You know, here in the United States, homelessness is running rampant, you know, from East Coast to West Coast, from North to South. People are losing homes. People are not even able to get into a home. Let's speak about the truth of the matter. Really, it's devastating when you aren't sure where you're going to be able to lay your head and have protection, because that's really what a home provides you. And it was in the moment that I was homeless. Losing my house made me homeless. And I was blessed enough to have family, you know, that I could live with and feel safe and secure, but it wasn't mine. You know, you're carrying suitcase from one place to the next and one place to the next. And there's no feeling like having your own, whether it's an apartment, a condo, or that sprawling 4,000 square foot home that, you know, used to be mine, right?
Right.
And I always tell people, if I was taught about the value of the dollar when I was younger, I would have appreciated it a little bit more instead of certain name brand bags and shoes. But that's for a whole nother part that we'll get through, you know. But that was it. That really changed my world. It changed my perspective on life. It changed everything I thought I knew about owning a home and being a homeowner and what it really means to save and not spend and be on a budget, a real budget. And not to say that you won't have ups and downs, but that was my lowest point it was my lowest point and my greatest point, because it opened my eyes to the things that I needed to know. And it also created lessons and a testimony for me to share with others.
I definitely can understand that, man. I moved to New York almost in right at the beginning of winter back in the 70s, girl. And they had just let a lot of people out of the mental institution. And I'm from a small town here in North Carolina, so never had seen that in life before. So
wow.
I just couldn't deal with the stepping over people like they were animals and they weren't human. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Girl, you know that was short-lived, right? I left New York.
There, yeah, right.
Quick and in a hurry. And
we got to fix this.
Yeah, I went all the way to Key West, yeah. Florida. I'm like, look, the little island in the middle of the Gulf, that's big enough for me.
Ready, set, go.
Yes, but that was just kind of devastating. And, you know, just to sit in a restaurant and have them just run in the restaurant if they saw you left food on the table. Girl, please. I had to get up out of there.
Woo! Yeah, that's an experience right there. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Okay, so you say you grew up in the projects in Georgia. So growing up, what made you get away from that environment?
Oh, my gosh. So this is, you know, the part of my life where I was, you know, just when you're that young. So I lived in the project from probably 7 years old until I was 13, 14. And the things that you would see, people feel like, oh, that's just stuff that happens in the movies. No, it happens for real, like rolling blackouts, block parties, rent parties. I've seen all of that. Even in the 80s, right? I was blessed to see that. But some of the more devastating things was you know, we didn't have a lot of places where we could go to play outside and stuff. And I remember one of my friends getting hit by a car, just having fun riding their bike down the street. You know, simple things like that. You, if you grew up in a neighborhood where there's homes and, you know, sidewalks and things like that, you kind of take that for granted, right?
Right.
That you're just outside playing, and the kids in the project can't even do that because we were next to a busy street and there's nowhere else to play. There's nothing else that you can do. And so being in the house, this is going to sound crazy, but when you turn on the light, all the bugs, all the roaches scatter. Can't leave cereal out. Can't, like, I'm serious, girl. It was that crazy. It was bad.
Bad.
Yep. I grew up with all of that, you know, and so I tell people I am not bougie. I got my upbringing, honestly. Like, yeah, I know about raid and government cheese, trust me. And growing up at that time, it was those lessons that, you know, made me realize I don't want to live like this. You know, I do not want to live like this. And so I was living with my mom and her significant other at that time. They weren't married, but back then they call it common law, right?
Right.
And for those who understand that, old school people listening in tonight or today, whenever you guys are listening in, but a lot of people understand common law, right?
Right.
So we were fortunate enough, like I said, around 12, 13, we were able to move out of the projects and into a home. And, oh, girl, it was like candy land every day.
So you thought you had died and went to heaven, right?
Died and went to heaven. It was like Six Flags every single day. I had my own room. We had a big family room, dining room. And it was just like, oh, the neighborhood was nice. All the kids, we all got along. And it was amazing. But that part showed me, you know, you are able to move out of this situation into something better. And I just was always like, I'll never forget where I came from, right?
Right.
I'll never forget the blackouts and the kid getting hit on the bike in the street. And, you know, but I also won't forget all the community things that happened as well. And that's something else that stuck with me. So, you know, some good and some bad, but that's kind of life, right?
Right.
You always have some positive and some negative. So, yeah.
Well, I got to ask you, girl, because you were saying y'all was having rent parties in the project. What, I mean, what is that? How?
Yes. So I recall my mom's neighbor, this nice lady who lived right up under us. She came upstairs and she was telling my mom, girl, I don't have enough money to pay my rent. Can you help me? And she was like, my mom was like, girl, we're struggling too. You know, I was doing the thing that we weren't supposed to do, which is in grown folks conversation. Sitting around listening when you're not supposed to be listening.
Right.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. So my mom was telling her, hey, there's a lady across the street who helps do rent parties. And basically she would ask people to cook food and they would make plates and they would sell those plates. And then all of the money that was collected on that day, they would give that money to the person who was in need of paying their rent.
How creative,
and that's
girl.
What they did. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was some good food. Don't get it twisted. Really good food is in the project. Let me say
yes.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no fast food stuff going on. People are cooking, like, for real, for real. Because there's no money most of the time to go out, right? So, right. Yeah, you're going to get you some real good food over in the hood.
Well, girl, I grew up, we didn't have any fast food restaurants till I was almost grown. So I know what you're saying about that home cooking food.
Yes, the best ever. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so you became homeless, and that what inspired you to get into real estate?
Yeah, you know, as through my bio, I graduated from high school, went into the military, decided, I love my country, but I think I've reached my point, and I'm good now. Thank you, Uncle Sam, and we're going to say, bless the Lord and may the Lord watch.
I know that's but, right.
Yeah, and so, you know, I fumbled a little bit. I will be honest. I didn't come out of the military knowing, oh, real estate is it. The mortgage industry is exactly what I want to do. I played around in a couple of other industries, and it was IT back then, you know, early 2000s. Early, late 90s, and that just wasn't for me. I thought it was, and it was all the glitz and glams of being at IT, but then I realized you're crawling around under desks, you're in a grimy computer room all day with no windows. That's not my life.
No, thank you.
I'm good. I'm a social butterfly, so I have to be around people, and I worked in communications for some time, and that was like, you know, it paid my apartment bills at that time, but I wanted something more. And so I'm working for a tire company up in Alpharetta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And one of my sister's friends calls me, and she's like, girl, I got this job opportunity for you. And you're thinking, yeah, right. What scam of the week is this? And so, long story short, she's like, it's a job being a loan processor or a loan underwriter for Washington Mutual Bank, and the job is going to be in Chicago or New York. Now, you know, someone telling you, you got a job opportunity, but it's in another state, red flags, right? They're going off everywhere. This cannot be true, but it actually was true. It was actually true. To kind of sum it up, I interviewed for the position that I didn't think was real. The people sent me a airline ticket, Delta first class. They also sent me my hotel arrangement. They gave me the phone numbers to my manager at the Washington Mutual location in Chicago. And it dawned on me, this is real.
When you got on the plane, right?
Yeah, when I'm headed to the airport with my luggage, like, this is happening. And, oh, my gosh, it changed my world. From that moment on, I never looked back, and I knew that the mortgage and real estate industry was going to carry me for the rest of my life. I just fell in love with it. Every aspect of it, you know, every single aspect of it, I fell in love with it.
So how long were you in Chicago?
I was in Chicago working that assignment for about a year. And then it was contract. And so they would fly me back and forth from Atlanta to Chicago every 3 weeks. It was the best job ever, girl. I got per diem. They had me in a nice hotel. I got a rental car. I love that job. I guess people are like, yeah, with all those perks, I would love it too.
Exactly. Free hotel, free flights. Hey, can't get any better than that, right?
Right. Yep. Free hotel, free flights. It was really something then. And that was also, you know, in the time where interest rates weren't as low as they are now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those loans that we were doing at that time was like the subprime loans and all that kind of stuff that was going on then. And so I was a part of all of that and the collapse. I was, you know, in the industry then when the collapse happened as well. But yeah, that was my time in Chicago.
Yeah, that's one state I was like, I don't think I can ever live in because I'm like, I got to have heat. So that's why I went to Florida. I'm like, they got heat all year. And so
they've got all year long. Yes.
Just to think of Chicago, I'm like, who wants to live there, you know?
Right. Yes. I can tell you there were days that I would take a nap on a Saturday and then wake up and snow would be almost covering the car. And I'm like, where did all of this stuff come from? Being from Georgia, the city shuts down if there's like a trace of snow on the ground.
Right. North Carolina is the same way.
Yeah. So imagine me being in Chicago. I wake up, the snow is just about halfway to my tires and I'm going, oh, I can go back to sleep. They were like, guys, you'll still be reporting to work today, and we're going to give just an hour grace period for traffic and snow. I'm saying, what?
That's right.
You mean I got to go driving this stuff?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I kind of, I'm a January baby. I will say that. And so I love being cold.
Okay.
But I had just about had it.
With Chicago, huh?
I had just about had it with the snow and ice and windy city it is. So, yeah, I was ready for some sunshine and rain back in Atlanta.
I'm sure. Yes. It was like, I worked down near the World Trade Center in New York, and that's right off the Hudson. Okay. And girl, like I said, I went there right at the beginning of winter, and I'm like, oh no, I think, I believe I stayed in New York 4 months because my brother and sister, you know, when they graduated, they all went to New York, and they were like, if you can't make it in New York, you can't make it anywhere. I'm like, well, I don't know about all that because I'm sure finna get up out of here.
Like, peace, I'm out. See you later. I understand. I 100% understand. Yeah, it's a whole nother way of living. And I love, you know, the big city feel, but I'm always going to be a small hometown girl.
Yeah, me too. So I'm like, y'all can have that. You know, New York is a good place to party and shop and, you know, meet people, influential people. But after that, yes. I got to go.
I've got to go. Yep. Give me my sweet tea, a seat on the front porch so I can watch the people go by and hang out. That's me. Yep. Same thing. That's it.
Okay.
And I'm content.
Yes. And tell us about these two reality shows you have on.
Oh my gosh. You know, I love TV. I love movies. I am a movie girl, but I have most recently just kind of really started getting in. Well, let me not say just now started. I've always loved the home fixer-upper shows, right? And anything dealing with real estate, I'm all about it. I've watched it. If it's on TV, I've probably seen it. And a couple of years ago, one of my dear friends, I call her Paula J.
Okay.
Me and her used to do, which was another look life of mine that I used to do, which was in production. And she would say, girl, you know, you're going to be on TV. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be doing that. And that idea, you know, of course, always stuck with me. The production company we were with then, it's like, you don't ever really get away from it. You know, that part of my life has really always been a part of my life. I love music. I love production and everything that comes along with it. It's just so, so much fun. If you've ever been an extra on a movie scene or things like that, it always has just been fascinating to me. So about 3 or 4 years ago, I was sitting in my living room and I was like, God, what else is going on? You know, what else do you have for me? What else is there? And he showed me on TV. And I was like, wait, what?
I'm
thinking it's going to be a business or a book, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me on TV. And I said, well, okay, if this is what it is, then I need a name for the show. I need to know the concept of the show. And as I was laying down that night, he came to me and said, the show is about real estate and you will educate my people. And I was like, wow, that's big. And then the name came to me. And the name of the real estate show is The Real Estate Life of Atlanta. And it is everything that it sounds like.
And when does it come on, Terry?
So we are in pre-production right now. We are also in talks with several major networks for it to be shown across the globe. And I am just thrilled and excited to be putting this project together. I cannot wait for people to see it. It's going to be something that makes you laugh, makes you cry, but most importantly, you won't just be entertained, you're going to be educated. And that's what I'm so excited about.
That is awesome, because we really need something like that to inspire us to, you know, just go up and get that real estate and that money, girl.
Yes, and that's me, the money girl.
All right. Now, you also is an author, and what's the name of your book?
The name of the book, oh my gosh, the book. I first have to tell you, the book should really be called The Bible of Finances.
All right,
something along those lines. But the name of the book is 7 Days, Unlock Your Thoughts, Release Your Wealth.
Girl, where can we get that book from?
you can get it on Amazon.com. It's on Amazon, and it's a short read. It's not very long, and I didn't want it to be, because I wanted it to be a book that you could do and read it over and over and over. And mind you, I said read it and do it, because it's action behind the 7 days that I'm asking for you to do. The one particular thing that we hadn't really touched on, but I'll discuss it now since we're talking about the book. I am extremely spiritual. As I said before, when I, you know, got dropped in my spirit about the TV show and a whole lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, I'm very, very spiritual. And my friend, again, you know, she's like, you need to do a book. You need to do a book. And I'm like, well, write a book about what? And prayed about it. And he was like, I want you to write a book on things for people to do. And I'm like, things for people to do. Okay. Keep him first. Pray upon his word. Seek him and have faith. Pray, meditate, and affirm his word. And I'm like, okay, all right, God, you got to give this to me. And there it was, 7 days. And it laid itself out just as that. So much so that I created what I call the process in order to gain real wealth in your life. In that book, we go through it. I won't give you all of it.
Okay.
But it's daily affirmations. And the main thing that I use is a technique that I created called the MAP. And the MAP God gave to me, which stands for meditation, affirmation, and prayer.
Okay, my listeners, again, those are those nuggets. Listen, meditation, affirmation, and prayer, because that was going to be the next thing I asked you. See, God knows what he's doing, girl. Won't he do it for you?
Won't he do it? And I say, won't he do it? And he will do it again and again and again. That's the God I serve.
I know. I was talking to my coach this morning. I'm like, you know, I serve a God of a second chance. He told me, girl, we serve a God of many chances.
That's right. Yes. Many. Sometimes many in a day.
You're definitely right about that, I tell you.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes many in a day. But yeah, I whether I'm coaching or talking to friends, family, or just, you know, hanging out with my girls, I always tell them, you can get through anything if you keep a positive mindset. So meditating and affirming your day, starting your day with daily affirmations, prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, your special me moment, it's so important to just settle yourself, even if it's for a second. You know, we're so busy. Myself included, you know, some days I'm like, I didn't do it this morning. You know, okay, let me take just 2 seconds out of your day to say thank you. That's it.
Yeah, that's a fact. But see,
I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I leave my Bible right by the bed. So as soon as I wake up, it's the first thing I pick up. I can't say, no, I weigh my Bible at because it's right there almost in the bed with me. So I have definitely give God, put him first. Yes. I'm telling you, and everything else will work out for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A firm believer of that. Yes, girl, preach.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ms. Coleman, I am just so, so excited that I ran across you, and I'm glad you dropped those nuggets for my listeners, because like I said, we're trying to help them live their best life, because there's so much negativism in this world that people need to know that there is hope, and you don't have to stay where you started out at. All you
Very
have to do
true.
Is just take the action and keep it moving.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's it. Take the action and keep it moving. And that's, you know, that's a part of what I do. Taking the action of teaching people about home ownership or buying land, you know, land ownership as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
even though the banks may tell you no, you call me, we gonna work to get you a yes.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Yep. I'm the money lady.
Miss Money Lady. Yes. Now, how long did it take you to get to this point where you just stepped out on faith and went out on your own?
You know, can I say that's a daily process? It's ever growing, girlfriend.
Okay.
It's ever growing. I will be honest with you. It's been a life journey of lessons. And with every lesson, I learn something new that I share with individuals. But I would say over the last 3 to 4 years, it just really honed in. You know, everything just really began to gel together. The business came, the book, you know, all of these things, all these processes, me hiring and coaching people. I even do a program where I teach you how to do what I do, because I believe there's enough food at the table for everybody to eat. I'm not only trying to feed myself, I'm trying to feed a multitude of people, right?
Right.
Yes.
So listen, my listeners, look for her on Vashanti Radio, because she is coming soon, okay? I'm putting that in the atmosphere for you, girl.
Yes,
we're
I receive
have you on
it,
the podcast.
I say yes to that, absolutely. And it'll be more nuggets all the time.
Yes, yes. Again, I want to thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule to come and drop these nuggets for my listeners today and let them know how to get in contact with you, man, because I need to be buying some land and some buildings. I'm on buildings. I'm not in houses. I'm in those buildings, girl.
Right. Well, I will tell you this. You can reach out to me directly at 866-32-LOANS, L-O-A-N-S, 866-32-LOANS. You may get my assistant, but don't be surprised. I answer my phone, too. And just to kind of give you all the numbers for that, it's 866-325-6267. So 866-325-6267. You can also reach out to me via email at info@globalkeycapital.com.
All right. There you have it, my listeners. Listen, again, I appreciate you and looking forward to a long-term relationship with you as well. And
absolutely.
Yeah, because you've definitely got some nuggets that we're just getting into this thing called real estate. And so we definitely need the knowledge. And I feel you're an expert in your area, girl. So we're going to have to put you out there and let the knowledge flow to the multitude. Okay.
Yes, I am excited about it. Can't wait to share even more. And the biggest thing is, to hear stories of people getting properties and buying land and becoming investors. That's it for me. That's like my Christmas every day. Giving somebody the approval. Man, it's Christmas every day when somebody gets a home.
Girl, I know that's right. Because, I mean, you got so many beautiful homes around the country. And, you know, people just sit there because I remember as a kid, I used to watch this cartoon and this guy would just run up the mountain to a castle. And I'm like, okay, that's me right there. I'm going to have a castle when I get grown.
I know that's right. Yes.
Getting that castle, girl. And my brother, actually, I don't know if you've ever been to or seen Hearst's Castle, Randolph Hearst Castle in Pennsylvania. Girl, you got to go. You got to go there.
Okay.
That is the most beautiful sight. And it was strange because Randolph built it for his mistress because he was actually out of New York. And I'm like, my God, if he put his girlfriend in this, what in the world is his wife living in?
Right. Yes, that is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is Patty Hearst's dad, girl. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And the furnishing, oh, my God. I was like, wow. And they have this. This like Roman thing down the hill. And I was like, okay, if I ever get married, I'm going to have to come on out here and do this under this place here because it is just so. So beautiful. So look, you need to.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, get on down there and see that. And I mean, the land, I mean, they had nothing to come down the hill for. Everything is on top of that hill, girl.
Wow. So okay, that is on my checklist to do.
Hearst's Castle is in Hearst, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, look, I got something new today. I want to check that out. Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I love architect and all that kind of stuff. Different, ways stuff. So yeah, I can tell I'm going to love it already.
Oh, yes, you are. And like I said, the furnishing in there is to die for, girl. I was like, oh, my God. To just know somebody that got this kind of money that he can put his girlfriend in something like this.
Yeah. It's possible, guys. It's possible. I'm not condoning, but it's possible.
I'll tell you. Well, good. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I really do appreciate it. It's been an honor to have you as a guest. So, broadcasting from Boshani Radio, iHeart Live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Like I said, don't forget to go to Google Play and download Boshani Radio app We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. And also leaving that voicemail. Like I said, you may be on my show. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Reliable Cars. Too stressed to be blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. I'm sorry. And also, go to LyndaMonroe.com. My book is out, Overcoming All Odds. Get that. It would definitely be a blessing for you as well. And I'll definitely send you a gift along with that when you place your order. And listen, if you don't like to read, guess what? I got it in audio. I'll read it to you. So until next time, be blessed. God loves you, and so do I. The best is yet to come, and all is well. Thank you, Ms. Coleman, for joining me this evening, and you have a blessed weekend.
You too. Thank you so much, Linda.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.